Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest indie publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to the fine people behind Broovie's Cinema Pub, and we have Jimmy Martin, our resident movie expert, in the studio to talk about all the big summer films. Broovie's Cinema Pub is a movie theater and bar located right here in Salt Lake City that opened all the way back in 1997. And as somebody who is old enough to remember life before Broovie's, it was a miserable thing in Salt Lake. So happy to have a place that focuses on local craft beers and affordable pub food. They bring in all kinds of movies. They've gone through the years to doing, second run movies. They did a little artsy movies for a while. Now they're usually a week or two off of the big blockbuster openings, but they occasionally get a new release as well. Slug writer Ben Trentelman sat down with the theater's general manager Wayne Shipley and talked about the place and their monthly programming.
Wayne, if you could start by just giving me a little bit of a history of Broovie's and your role there and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Legend has it. That a couple guys from Salt Lake headed to Oregon, visited a cinema pub up in Portland called the Baghdad Theater, and they thought this would be a great idea in Salt Lake. So they came back, borrowed $1 million, started building it, went over budget, and opened the theater. I think that was in 1997. Swingers was the first film. Was that Vince Vaughn? And they ran that till 2006. For some reason, they had to sell that. And so we have had to. So it's two owners, and the current owners owned it since 2006. That's when I came on board as a kitchen manager.
Okay.
And slowly just morphed into the general manager position.
All right.
Yeah,
excellent.
So it's a great place to work. Independent, local theater. Great employees. So when you come down to Broovie's, not only are you supporting the owner, you're supporting some of the people that have been there since the start, which is huge.
And something that I think comes up with any place that serves alcohol are the number of obstacles that they have to overcome. And I've just always wondered about if there, with Broovie's being a cinema pub, if there are any issues that come up there, or if there were any big obstacles that they had to overcome as they were opening the theater, if to your knowledge.
That's what I would assume. Because you're looking at 1997, I think Squatters is just opening. For them to come to the DABC and say, hey, we have a great idea, we're going to sell beer and movies, and obviously what it hadn't existed up until that point. So either it went really smooth or it went really, you know, or they fought tooth and nail. My thought of it is, it was anytime you do something new, they're probably like, well, we don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
So, but since we've had it, since I've been there, I should say, we switched from, we were just a beer bar, you know, on-premises beer, to a full-service liquor license. And in that transition, which is in like 2010, it went really smooth.
Nice.
In fact, the DABC was amazing. So, yeah, so the only conflict we've ever seen with liquor and movies is Hangover 2, which most people know about, where Broovie's, where a local strip club owner got mad that Broovie's was showing a film that had some scene in a strip club, and we were serving beer, so we got fined for that.
Nice.
But, you know, it's Utah, it's their rules, so instead of creating a hubbub about it, which you're not going to win, you know, you just pay the fine and move forward. So that's what Broovie's did. But we had people offering to donate to pay the fine, and, you know, we just took care of it. So that's the only problem I've ever known of it.
Broovie's is really well-rooted in the community here, and you guys even just made the digital conversion to the digital projectors, right?
Yes.
And that, you know, funded a good deal through a community effort. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that ended up working out?
Yeah. Well, interesting you should say that. Two nights ago was our first presentation of a digital, so it was kind of end of an era. We still have one 35mm that we're going to switch out. We have the projector. Logistically, we're just waiting for opening to put them in there. And we did originally go to Kickstarter. And of course, when we started the Kickstarter campaign, we knew there would be some feedback. So we have people that love Broovie's, and then you also have people that have an opinion on anything. And right or wrong, we're not the first theater to go to the public and say, hey, we need help. thousands of theaters have went, because a theater is more than just a business. It's a community place for the community to gather. So we took the model from other small independent theaters. Because first and foremost, you have to understand, the projectors we had were completely good.
Yeah.
The industry was making us change. Mm-hmm. So when you say, well, you're a business, why don't you just include that in your business model? If you're a restaurant, you don't have in your business model, hey, I'm going to buy a new pizza oven, even though I don't need it.
Yeah.
So it's above and beyond the normal expense. So, but we knew when we asked the public for money, a private organization, there would be some feedback, some positive, some negative. About two-thirds way through the campaign, we saw that we would have reached our goal, but some of the comments and some of the attitudes people were taking, we didn't know if it was worth the risk. Mm. So we pulled the Kickstarter down.
Oh, wow.
About a week prior. We would have easily gotten the money, just like the Salt Lake Film Society got the money for their projectors. We would have done that too, but they're a nonprofit organization. We're a for-profit organization. So we pulled them down, and what we did was we just went online and studied as much as we could about digital films and how to get the cheapest thing. And we ended up buying three projectors from Toronto.
Whoa.
Got them shipped in. So, and we actually are in the process of expanding Broovies into a third screen.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which will take over a space next door, which is empty, right next to Solitai, which is. So that's where we're at. But we want to thank the community, everybody who came in and, you know, and pledged. Some people pledged $1,000, you know, which is amazing. But that's where we're at with that.
Along the lines of more of your community interaction, I'm always impressed with everything you guys are able to do with City Weekly and Slug and the Geek Show podcast. How can other organizations get involved with Broovies, or how can you guys bolster each other's missions?
Absolutely. Broovies is amazing. I think back in January, in 1 week, I had the Girl Scouts start their cookie drive campaign, and the following Saturday, we had this motorcycle gang ran out the theater and play Harley Davidson and the Marble Man. So within 48 hours, we had two opposite of the spectrum, and that's what Broovies is. Whether you know, want to show a movie you made and you just want to show it to your friends, or if you want to use it as a fundraiser, all you have to do, and that's what we want. We want to give that venue, and that's part of the reason we want to expand it, so we have that opportunity. I'd say probably 200 days out of the year, there's an event of some sort going on at Broovies that's not related to Hollywood films. People call us five or six calls a day about how to rent the theater out, and all people have to do is contact me, wayne@broovies.com, and I can explain to them how we can get you into that theater.
Awesome. Very good. Another great thing that Broovies has been doing for the last couple of years is a lot of people in Salt Lake, like myself, I don't have cable TV, but I want to watch Breaking Bad, or I want to watch any of the shows like that, and you guys have really stepped up to provide a cool opportunity for some of these watching parties that you guys have for some really good quality television that's coming out. Do you guys see any other opportunities or other types of events like that that are going to, you know, be able to bring everyone together there, or things along those lines?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What was it, Walking Dead was amazing. Even people that had cable television, they wanted the community viewing experience, because there's a difference between watching it at home and watching it with 100 people that have the same interest as you. We did run into some issues. I think with Walking Dead, we didn't charge anybody to see the show. We played it in its entirety with advertisements.
Yeah.
But eventually we received a cease and desist order from them saying, if you do it again, we'll just sue you. When you're fighting Hollywood, it's never an uphill battle. But we still do. I know we ran Fargo when it premiered, and we had a great turnout for that, which is an amazing show if anyone hasn't watched that yet. And I know in June we got World Cup soccer coming. And so we're going to, the games that are on when we're open, we're going to play World Cup soccer. So whether you're a sports fan or a television show fan, that's what we like to do. And to see it on the big screen makes a difference. We were letting people get their geek on for the last month playing Cosmos.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. We started it from episode one, so I didn't know if anyone was going to show up. You know, because you can see it. It's on Fox, regular television. But I put a Facebook post that said, it's going to be cool to see it on the big screen. And, you know, we had 80 people show up for the first episode. So you talk about a variety of programming, alternative content. That's another output that Broovies really loves to do.
Definitely. Have you guys ever done anything like movie and food pairings, or anything, you know, kind of other types of theme nights?
Yeah, and there's the easy ones like Harold and Kumar. Kumar. Uh-huh. You know, we did Sliders. And I know at one time, it was several years ago when Super Size Me came out, mm-hmm. we did a Super Size Me combo.
Nice.
And City Weekly actually recognized that and gave that one of their crazy Best of Utah awards for Best Ironic Special, because we just, you watched Super Size Me and we gave you like a double cheeseburger. Uh-huh. You know, so, nice. So those things are fun to do.
Great. With those, a lot of those special screenings, a lot of them are free. How is it that you guys swing that to show all the free movies?
We're making money off food and drinks. Yep. Simple as that. In fact, if say someone wants to rent the theater out, most places, it's when we tell them it's a capacity base, they're like, oh, so I'm gonna you're going to charge me for each person that comes. No, we discount it. Mm-hmm. So if you play your cards right and you self-promote enough and you get on Facebook and on Twitter, if you pack the house, we don't even charge you. Mm-hmm. Because we've thus generated a lot of money in beer and food, and that supplants the need for any charge.
Excellent. With the food, what are some of your favorite menu items?
Yeah, absolutely. So I tell people if they're in line and they don't know what to get, just to get the nachos. Uh-huh. It's a huge plate of nachos.
Yeah.
And, you know, we make the salsas fresh, the guacamole's fresh, the cheese we shred ourselves, the chips we fry ourselves, mm-hmm. all the veggies are chopped there. So basically, if you get the nachos, you're getting everything at some point we created in the kitchen, mm-hmm. you know. The simple thing like shredding the cheese there is amazing. It makes a big difference.
Definitely.
So I normally just get a plate of nachos with some grilled chicken on it. Nice. Call it a day.
Yeah, the nachos there are awesome. I love the pizza there. I haven't had anything that I have not liked at Brewby's. And I've got to ask if you can still get the Boda corn dogs, because that was one of my favorite things.
Yeah, Andy Murphy, the old general manager, came up with that. Uh-huh. Boda corn dogs is still there. It's you'd be surprised how many people just screw it, give me the corn dogs.
Yeah, right. You know, they're really good corn dogs.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So let's say that you're enjoying your last meal and you're going to, you know, catch a movie at Brewby's for that. So what movie, beer, and meal would you go for?
It'll be boring.
Yeah.
It'll be Diet Coke, a plate of nachos, uh-huh. and the show, the movie Kingpin.
All right, excellent.
And I love that movie, and I always want to play it. Uh-huh. And we obtain rights, you know, when we want to, because Monday, we hadn't talked about that. Uh-huh. Every Monday at 10 o'clock, Brewby's does a free movie, the mm-hmm. Film Buff series. I think this Monday was Shaun of the Dead, and next week is Pulp Fiction.
Nice.
We like to do the classics that everyone knows, but every once in a while, we like to put in one of our favorites. Uh-huh. And I've been trying to play Kingpin forever, and I can't ever find the rights for it. So one time I might just sneak it in. Because that movie, I can quote every line from that movie. So those would be my choices.
Sounds like a good last meal to me. Where else can we find more info about what's going on at Brewby's?
Brewby's.com. Or, no one's ever called the Brewby's movie line. About 5 days of the week, Scott Farley, our head server, who's been there since the inception of Brewby's, does his spiel. So if you're lucky enough to call on one of the days that he's done the voicemail, you get the show times, obviously. You get the rules of Brewby's. You must be over 21 with valid ID. But you get Scotty's take on either the movies that we're playing or, you never know, on the current events of the day. And so it's 801-355-5500, and you get Scotty's showtime and spiel.
Brewby's is located at 677 West, 200 South in downtown Salt Lake City. For showtimes, events, and more info, check them out at brewbies.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie.
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning on June 3rd and running through June 9th. Yes, that's right. We are all the way into June, people. Unbelievable. Lots of goodies. When I went on to the old Slug calendar online, I recommend you do the same. It's at slugmag.com. Scroll to the bottom of that homepage. You'll find goodies for every day of the week. I started on Tuesday, June 3rd, when one of my favorites, a country folk slash rock legend, Emmylou Harris, she's headlining the first concert at Redview Garden this summer. She, for me, is one of the best voices you've ever heard in a live environment, and her music she made with Graham Parsons back in the day, some of the best roots rock ever made. Xavier Rudd is headlining a show at the Depot that night. That'll be some competition for a similar audience, people who like a little folky rock action. Wednesday, June 4th, it's the beginning of a big, long weekend of Crucial Fest all over town. Venues happening, bands right and left. On Wednesday, June 4th, Crucial Fest features Iceburn, Baby Girl, Temples, Cicadas, Turbo Chug, The Obliterate Plague, and Pest Rules, all playing together. Unbelievable amount of bands in one night. That's at the Metro. On Thursday, June 5th, for Crucial Fest, Sub Rosa, Grave Code Nebula, Wolf Serpent, Jetty, The Moths, Yaktooth, and Danger Hailstorm. These are some mega bills, people. That's all at Bar Deluxe. While across town, God's Revolver, Arm Pigs, The Esto, Dwellers, The Troubles and Scalps are at Bert's Tiki Lounge. Wow, that's a couple of big-ass, giant Crucial Fest shows on Thursday the 5th. Same night, Milk Carton Kids are headlining at the Stateroom. These two guys are hilarious. They sound a little like Simon and Garfunkel, musically speaking, whether you like that or not, but they're really hilarious in between songs. Friday, June 6th, it's the Big Slug Beer Issue Party at the Beer Bar. Also, the new issue of Slug featuring the Beer Fiesta in there. That comes out that day. That'll be a blast. Down in Provo, it's the Rooftop Concert Series with We Are the Strike, Van Lady Love, and Cory Monn. The Eagles, not the shitty ones, but the cool British rock band playing the Shred Shed that night, Friday, June 6th. Then on Saturday, June 7th, the Mountain Goats are at Kilby Court. They're played as a two-piece this time around. Lack of drums with that lineup. And Crucial Fest on Saturday, June 7th, Red Fang, Big Business, American Sharks, Worst Friends, and Top Dead Celebrity all together at Urban Lounge. And then on Sunday, June 8th, easily the show I'm one of the shows I'm most excited for all summer, Janelle Monáe, playing Red Butte Garden, which is a little bit of a weird environment for her, but she is a serious badass. She's a combination of Prince, James Brown, Outkast, but she's a lady fronting a kick-ass band. That should be a blast. That's your weekly daily calendar for June 3rd through June 9th. Go online, slugmag.com, scroll to the bottom. Lots of great listings, new stuff going in there every day. If you're the kind of person who throws your own events, you can add your listings for free for a mere $5 a month, $50 a year. You can add some quality linkage to your content. We are live, sort of. It's a podcast, so not really in the studio here.
We're alive.
With resident movie expert Jimmy Martin, who is going to tell us all about all of the mega movies coming out in June through August. And what is kind of weird is we're going to start talking summer blockbusters. And as we speak, we've already had Captain America, Godzilla.
Yeah.
I don't even know whatever the hell else.
X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you say summer blockbusters. I mean, back in the day, that was June through August.
Yeah.
And it's like right when school got out.
Like, hey, what's the big 4th of July movie this
year?
Exactly.
Like,
who gives a shit anymore? It's everything's in May.
I mean, I think the earliest now, it's about mid-April. Or actually, even I think Cap was April 4th.
They're pushing it, yeah.
So it's basically just going to be like year-round fucking blockbusters.
That's right.
That's what's going to turn
into.
So
we're going to go ahead and go with our June to August, an actual three-month window of movies large and small. But,
this is old-school summer blockbuster season.
There we go. That's right. So, you know, tell us, what are your highlights? What do we got going?
Let's do it. June 6th. I'm excited. There's Tom Cruise, who people give him shit. I love him.
I'm stopping you right there.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
I love him. I say what you will. He can be a prick or whatever. And Scientology, I don't care.
Yeah.
But like as an action star, that dude kicks ass. And so anytime he's in something, I get excited. Edge of Tomorrow is coming out. It was going to be called the same name as the graphic novel it's based on, called All You Need Is Kill. And basically what it is, he's this soldier in the future. He's never been to war. They drop him in the middle of this battle, dies in like 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he wakes up. And it's like the morning again before the battle.
Yeah.
And so he's like, what the hell? Like that. And so, you know, he gets back in the jet, gets on the plane, they drop him in the middle of the outfield. But like instead of like turning left where he got shot, he's like, fuck that. So he goes right. Maybe makes it for another minute, gets killed. Wakes up and then he's like, what the hell is going on? But it becomes where he does it so like thousands of times to where he becomes like a super soldier and they don't and he can't explain it. And Emily Blunt's in there and then she, like, I think the same thing's happening to her, but they don't know why. And so it looks really, really cool. So excited for that
one. It'll make bank around the globe.
Hopefully.
That's for sure.
June 13th, the sequel. I didn't think we'd get this, but I actually liked the first one, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
surprisingly fun.
Yeah, it was.
I was
right?
kind of shocked. Like, you know, I didn't. What is this? Channing Tatum, right?
Channing Tatum, and
I hadn't really seen him in anything much before then. Right. He was really good in it, and
you're like the guy who's like, you know, the hunky guy that all the girls love. And right. Yeah. Like, he's gonna be funny.
Yeah,
like, sure,
funny.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Him and Jonah Hill. Yeah, so it did well. I liked it. So you were getting 22 Jump Street, yeah. You know, and I liked it because I guess the Korean church they were in, like the hideout, you know, the base for 21 yeah. Jump Street, like the Koreans came back and took it back from them. So now they're across the street, and that's why they call it 22. So it looks funny. Dave Franco.
I can appreciate that it's actually R-rated comedy, too,
yeah.
instead of pussing out and being PG-13.
You're absolutely
bullshit.
Right. I mean, as we record this, like, Neighbors just came out a couple weeks ago with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Yeah.
And Dirtier Than Shit. It was hilarious, you know? And so I'm like, I love comedies that have an R rating that use their R rating.
That's right.
Completely on the opposite spectrum of R ratings. The animated film, which I'm very excited to see this, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Because How to Train Your Dragon 1, I've got a list of maybe three films. I'm like, you should see this in 3D. You know, 3D to me is a gimmick. It doesn't usually work. It's usually bullshit. How to Train Your Dragon was one of those films. It just immersed you into that world of flying on a dragon. Yeah. It was really cool. So I'm excited to see that one again.
Nice.
A smaller film that same day that I actually did see at Sundance called The Signal comes out. Mainly a cast of people you don't know except for Lawrence Fishburne. Mm. These kids track down a hacker, and all of a sudden this... I would say UFO, let's just call it that, beams over them, and all of a sudden a big flash of light, and then they wake up in this facility, and they don't know what the hell's going on. Mm. Really fun.
Ooh, that
really
sounds
fun.
Cool.
And I'm not even going to say any more than that, because it's one of those ones where it's you follow the cookie crumbs down the trail, you know, like that. So I don't want to...
That sounds good.
But it really cool. So, nice. And I have a feeling that one... Oh, no, it will. It's going to open at the Broadway.
Cool.
So, and good. I think around that date, too. So check
always,
that one out.
Up for movement sometimes at the Broadway theater. Sometimes it's another week.
Yeah. So I'll say June 13th, but it is in June because I think we're running my review from Sundance in Slug's issue in June. So,
nice.
So check out the review and all that. June 20th, you've got Jersey Boys. This is the musical that's the sensation hit on Broadway.
I saw the Broadway play, did you?
No, I haven't. Good?
Pretty good, actually, considering I thought I really hated that music.
Yeah.
You know, it's that doo-wop of the 50s. The most interesting thing about the movie is Clint Eastwood directed this thing.
Yeah, it's like, Clint Eastwood. And like,
inexplicable to me.
And I've got some friends who actually work on that, I think it's Warner Brothers, you know, a lot and whatnot. And like, they ran into him and they're like, he's really into it. Like, and everybody's like, really?
He's about
like,
the right age. Yeah. I'm just kind of fantasizing that he takes it into a weird direction with some serious ass kicking.
Yeah.
There is some like gangster stuff in there because these guys were from Jersey and they did have like dirty money behind them, you know?
Right on.
So that's interesting. But
yeah,
they I'm just, kind of excited about it.
They said it's kind of like one of his like passion projects kind of thing. I'm like, really? Dirty Harry? Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I see the trailer and think how gorgeous this movie looks, I am not getting excited on June 27th for Transformers Age of Extinction. I can't. You have hurt me too many times, Michael Bay.
I'm not going back to that well.
You said you were going away. And I was excited because, like, Transformers 1, okay, it was kind of fun. You kind of look back on it, dumb.
Yeah.
Transformers 2 was one of the most racist pieces of shit I've ever seen. And then 3 was dumber than shit, except for the last 20 minutes, because, and it was fan, I'll say the last 20 minutes was fun because it was robots, punchy robots, and that's all I fucking wanted. I didn't want Shia LaBeouf and fucking McDreamy's, you know, what's his name, Patrick Dempsey. You know, I didn't want their fucking story. I don't care. Like, it's just...
Move on. Yeah. We want machinery.
If you've learned anything, go fucking watch Pacific Rim. You know, like, that's all we want. It's not fucking complicated. So,
this is the fourth one.
Yeah, and they got rid of Shia LaBeouf. You got Mark Wahlberg. Great. I don't care. Mark Wahlberg can be a great actor when he has a great director behind him. Watch The Departed with Martin Scorsese.
Right.
Michael Bay is not that fucking director.
No.
I'm sorry. So
not
I'm
even
not,
close.
And I've ruined the trailer for some people because I guess he finds Optimus Prime and it's all, like, you know, rusted out and shit. And then he figures out that it's something, and it's in the trailer. He's like, I think we found a Transformer, and I'm just like, oh god, this is gonna be shit. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it. And then, great, they're bringing Dinobots too. Fine.
He'll have a shirt off a lot. I'm gonna predict right now.
Sure, go ahead. So there's that one. July 2nd. There's a film coming out. It looks like a dark comedy called Tammy, and it's Melissa McCarthy just being Melissa McCarthy. You know, they haven't shown much of the trailers besides her robbing a fast food place with a bag on her head, and that's kind of it. I mean, there's no plot really to it.
Susan Sarandon's like her. Grandma?
Yeah,
or something?
I think it's her mom.
Mom.
Yeah, I think
her
it's
mom?
Just and she's
like, yeah.
Susan Sarandon. I mean, I think it's a lot.
I like her.
She's still a beautiful woman, but like she's showing her age, or they just made her look like shit. But it's one of the two. But
probably somewhere in between,
right?
I'd hazard a guess.
So it could be fun. I have no idea. Mark Duplass is in it. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, nice.
So who knows? Let's see, July 4th. It's not really anything. These are two smaller ones. I think July 4th falls. Oh, it's a.
Everyone just. It's a Thursday.
No, it's a Friday. I think actually, but I think they're hitting July 2nd. They're usually around the holidays. They hit that Wednesday.
Yep.
to do it. So
super long weekend style.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So July 11th, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Mm. This looks badass. Yeah. This is the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. James Franco's not in this one. It's years down the road. If we all remember, Caesar is home, and he was in the forest, and pretty much told Franco to fuck off. Yeah. And so if you've seen the trailers for this one, it looks cool, because like now like the apes have, they're starting to like make civilization. They're making their own houses. Like, yeah. You know, like they have like families, you know? And then the humans are off like in San Francisco, just destroyed. Man, San Francisco's having a shitty year. I just realized that because Godzilla gets fucking crushed to dust.
Oh, man.
So, God, I'm just kidding. Hollywood's got it in for San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it's years down the road. I think Gary Oldman's in there. Oh, what's Felicity's name? Oh, Carrie Russell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's in there. And then
Felicity.
Yeah. And then Andy Serkis is doing Caesar again, which will be fantastic. But them essentially going to war, you know, that they're just basically going to wipe
the humans last one out. Was really good. That's good.
That was one, because like, it was a relaunch of a franchise that, you know, you watched it and you're like, I hope this is good. And I remember sitting there with all the critics. It was a like a 5 p.m. screening. It was just critics, maybe 10 of us in there. And we all were like, whoa, yeah. That was unexpected and
that
fucking cool.
That didn't suck, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So that looks pretty good. July 18th, Jupiter Ascending. That's the new Wachowski. I always say Wachowski Brothers, but now that one is transgender. So I think it's Lena or...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's them. Nervous about it. It's Mila Kunis, again, Channing Tatum. It looks interesting. I mean, all the movies are gorgeous looking.
Yeah, look great.
But I mean, like, what was it? Cloud Atlas was kind of, you know, it was what, 4.5 hours? Yeah. And 1 hour was good.
You know? Right.
So, and then Speed Racer was kind of shitty, but again, pretty. And
yeah,
so
look good. Right.
It's one of those ones where I'll be excited to go see it just for the visuals. And if you can make a story.
Hopefully there's a story in there that's at least halfway decent.
So hopefully for that one. And I love this next one, The Purge Anarchy, because it reminds me of American Horror Story. I don't know if you've seen that TV show the reason it reminds me of it is because they're making sequels, but it's not a sequel. It's just a different story. You know what I mean?
They're hanging the franchise name on it, but it's a different movie.
Yeah, so it could be really cool, really shitty. And that's kind of fun for me to go in there, because you're like, because I like the first one. There was some stupid stuff to it, but the idea, and if you didn't see it, all crime is legal for 24 hours.
Right, free for all.
Because basically it's the government's, I mean, and it all turns out that it's just getting poor people to kill each other. But because all the rich people just hang out in their houses with their alarms and bars, you know.
Fortress stuff.
Yeah. So it's all the homeless people and drug addicts killing each other. So it looks like it'd be good. So, and then Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Sure, why not?
Like a sequel to
It's that Planes, Planes Disney movie?
Yeah.
And they're just going to do it. I mean, that film was supposed to go straight to video. They put it in theaters and it made some money. So they're like, okay, kids.
We can do it again.
If you guys want that, go for it. So good old Dane Cook's back and Julie Bowen and Ed Harris. So go for it.
Ed Harris? Oh, man.
I like Ed Harris.
I do, too. Why is he slumming it with Dane Cook? That's what my old man.
He's got such a good voice, because the last time I really remember him was he was Mission Control and Gravity, which was kind of the wink at Apollo 13.
Yeah, right.
We're getting another Hercules movie that we've already had earlier this year, because The Legend of Hercules came out, and then this studio's like, well, fuck you, we're going to do a better one with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So,
oh, good.
I haven't watched any trailers for it, and my friends are like, because every once in a while I just don't want to watch trailers. I'm like, I'm just going to go in like completely fresh. So I'm trying to avoid it. I like The Rock. I don't know if he likes The Rock anymore. I don't care.
I'm guessing he'll have his shirt off a lot, too.
Sure, why not? Sex Tapes coming out. Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz. Could be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of getting tired of Cameron Diaz very quickly.
I'm amazed she's still getting booked into those kind of leading roles, but hey.
Oh, not Zac Efron. What's his name? What's the guy's name from Scrubs? It's
Braff.
Zach Braff, So the movie that he did the Kickstarter for. Wish I Was Here was at Sundance. I didn't see it, but I heard some good things. That comes out around this time. Getting into August, this is probably the one I'm most excited for through the summer. And they just released, as we record this today, they released the trailer this morning, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. This is going to be this is going to be the test if Marvel can kind of do whatever the fuck they want. You know, like, they have, you know, nobody really knew Iron Man when they came out with that film, and then that obviously is making billions.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, Thor and Cap like that. But this is the first time where it's first intergalactic. You know, I know Thor is kind of out there, it's more fantasy, but it's intergalactic, sci-fi, different planets, alien species, a fucking raccoon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is there a talking raccoon in this?
There's a talking raccoon. It's Rocky Raccoon. It's Chris Pratt for all the Parks and Rec fans who is not Fat Andy anymore. This dude jacked the fuck up. It's hilarious. So him, Vin Diesel's the voice of Groot in if you know the comics, the only thing that this character says is, "I am Groot." You know, it's kind of funny.
That's how I want my Vin Diesel, pretty
right?
much.
Zoe Saldana is in there, and then Rocket Raccoon is voiced by Bradley Cooper. I believe this, and my friend Carrie believes this as well, is that every parent will have a Rocket Raccoon under the Christmas tree this year, and I wholeheartedly believe it, because they're going to push the shit out of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks fun. It looks good. It's by James Gunn, who, that dude's made some weird fucking movies, from Troma back in the day, and Slither and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what this guy can pull off. So,
well, that's got potential.
Yeah.
I know Chris Pratt's been tweeting about it for like a year and a half.
Yeah, right. So that comes out, and then they have 1 week to prove themselves, and hopefully unless the other one's good too. The next week on August 8th, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming out. And I think this looks okay. I think the turtles look badass. I hate people that are fucking hating on this shit already.
That would be me for all of you who can't see there at home.
I'm sorry. These are the first time the turtles look like they could beat the shit out of somebody. Like, you know, it's
well,
not
I can believe that they could make a bigger, better Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Yeah. I question the reason why.
Well, Michael Bay's got his finger in it, and you're like, stop fucking with the childhood, man. And he's not directing it, so that gives me some hope. I know Toe Thumbs, a.k.a. Megan Fox, is April O'Neil. Fine, whatever.
They'll give Vanilla Ice a cameo, don't you think? Is he in there? Do you know?
No, but he's doing the macaroni and cheese commercials. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Dude, give the guy props for poking fun at himself.
Oh, yeah.
Or just collecting a paycheck, one of the two.
That's the same thing.
So I think it looks okay. It could be really bad, but, you know, kids are digging Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now.
See, that's what I don't have any feel for, is like, do kids know who the...
Oh, yeah, because there is a Nickelodeon cartoon, and it's just exploding.
Bigger, badder, and newer.
Go to Toys R Us and see how many Ninja Turtles toys they have all over the place. Like, it's back. In a big way. So we'll see if it can take a...
Man, that's a big showdown in August.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. And then the same day as Turtles is one called Into the Storm. It's kind of like Twister amplified by a ton. And then flying through August 15th, you got The Expendables 3.
So yes.
We're talking about collecting a paycheck.
Harrison Ford, what the fuck are you doing in that movie?
Harrison Ford and then Wesley Snipes, who's like...
Well, I know why he's in the movie.
So there's that. And then last and certainly not least, on August 22nd, is the sequel. I've been waiting for this one for a while. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Oh, hell yeah.
Robert Rodriguez. The first one was gorgeous.
Awesome.
And so I'm excited to see this one. All new story.
They
and
took
that's
their
gonna be
time.
Good.
Yeah, now you just made my whole day. That's the one I'm most looking forward to, especially of all the sequels, I guess, for sure. Is like that. I love that first one. It was so well done.
It just, you watch it and just, I mean, every frame is, and he made it for next to nothing. Yeah. It's all green screened.
Right.
So, yeah.
Amazing.
I'm excited to see that one.
Else. Yeah, that's killer. Wow, that's a big August. Nice.
It there you go.
Built up and up. Awesome. Well, Jimmy, tell us all the places we find you, besides, of course, the pages of every issue of Slug Magazine.
That's right. You can find me on there. You can find me on every Monday. You can find me on Geek Show Podcast, geekshowpodcast.com. You can watch my reviews on Big Movie Mouth Off on our Facebook page, because we give basically every movie I just talked about, we give away free passes to. So we do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. You can watch me every Saturday and Sunday morning on KUTV on the news. And Saturdays are film reviews, and Sundays kind of whatever I want to do. So that's kind of fun. Yeah. So coming up with ideas for that. And then every Friday morning, you can hear me on the Arrow 103.5 FM. And you can also hear me on, I think, every Thursday morning they release it on the Mediocre Show podcast.
That multimedia megastar.
Just a whore.
Well, Jimmy, we will be talking to you fall films come August, and see what's happening after all of these big mega superstar. We'll see if the Ninja Turtles outlasted the...
It'll be interesting to see if they can take down Guardians. It'll be really funny to watch.
Nice.
So.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online at slugmag.com. We're going to have Jeffrey Stedman in from Yelp, Utah, to talk about brew pubs to go along with our annual beer issue coming out in June. We'd like to hear what your favorite joints are to get a pint while getting some grub. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves, or via Facebook at facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega and myself, Dan Nalen. Executive producer, Angela H. Brown. Theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. The main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up next week. We'll have Mike Riedel in to tell us about the best local beer news, and we'll have Jeffrey Stedman in from Yelp, Utah, talking about beer pubs. It's all kinds of beer next issue. Thanks!